Hi, and welcome to Parent Talk with Bev, Black British mother of West Indian descent with two adults now, 21 and 19, based in London, UK. Not an expert, never have claimed to be. I'm just sharing thoughts, opinions, and experiences around parenting and in my life in the hope that it helps another parent or someone somewhere. So by now, you all know that the hashtag means we're talking about anything really. And today is a space to talk about being alone during the Christmas season. As you might imagine, with some of the recent posts that I've done, that I've had some time. The office is closed for Christmas and New Year. So with more time on my hands than usual, here I am. Again, it's pre-Christmas Eve, i.e. Friday the 23rd of December. Well, actually, that's when I started collecting my thoughts, but today is actually the Christmas Eve. And I'm taking some time out to try and quickly do this podcast that I had been thinking about this week. So I started collecting my thoughts yesterday, right? And I was busy rushing around because I was just about to run out and get the last bits and pieces of food items for Christmas Day. You know, my youngest daughter and I, who's back home from university, her idea is let's do a mini, a mini cook up. It's been really easy to get caught up in the Christmas event. And by that, I mean the commercial aspect of Christmas season, you know, preparing the house, wrapping the gifts after trying to hide them around the house, making sure that you have the food that you've bought and it's actually in the house so that you can make tomorrow, Christmas Day, run smoothly. You know, the shopping prior to the day. And, you know, just being in the stores, they're just packed with people who are frantically, or it looks like that to me, they're frantically buying their last bits and pieces or they're bulk shopping for the one day. I'm one of them too. Although each year I say, I don't want to be doing that again. Yet I know I have forgotten the salad. So I'm debating if I dare venture into the local stores to try and pick one up. There's just so much fantasy in our heads about how it's going to go when the day comes and the hope that you have all, you know, that you need. And, you know, you're thinking about people's reactions to the gifts that you've bought when they open them. That's if you're doing gifts this year. The fantasy in our head is real. But I paused this week and especially yesterday to think about those of us who have to navigate through this season's difficulties whilst trying to put a brave face on it all. Those of us without our children for the Christmas period, those whose children are grown and they're spending the day with them in-laws or partners trying to fit you around their own needs. What about those whose what about those whose children are no longer here on this earth to celebrate this Christmas? I don't want to bring everybody down, but I was at a funeral on Wednesday, the 21st of December, of a beautiful young mother who has left behind her partner of 31 years and a teenage son. The service was real and touching. It was my friend's wife who had passed, and they had met 31 years ago when they were at college. They'd been together ever since until she passed away suddenly without warning 2 weeks ago. Being alone at Christmas is bad enough, but add grief to it, and any time spent alone with one's thoughts and memories is hard. My intention doing this podcast is just to remind myself and those listening that we're truly blessed to have family and friends around us. This is easy to forget as we rush around doing, but when I stopped rushing for just a bit, I can see or I have seen, that there are people alone. After coming through the last 2 years, all with, you know, the COVID thing and everything, some of us have had to really reevaluate things and think about what's really important. Who helped us through the rough times? Strangers or family? A mixture, if I'm honest. Now we're all feeling the cost of living impact, you know, the period that we're going through right now, of the fear around turning our heating or lighting on because we fear the bill that will land in our mailbox, either end of month, if you pay monthly, or after Christmas and New Year, when the next quarterly bill may be landing. This fear lingers in the back of our minds. And if I'm honest, I fear my next bill, even though I have taken measures to reduce my household use. But when that fear passes, I'm reminded of what it is that I think is really important and who are important in my life. And my faith in God helps me. Simple as. But what about the elderly person or neighbours who we ignore, apart from the brief, hello, or good morning? The young people I see walking around like they have somewhere to go. But there's a hint that something isn't quite right. Or is it that I, or we, just don't look people in their face anymore? Is it the young people I know that are struggling with expectations they cannot fulfill, and or those who are pretending to live high life, and others who are existing in the so-called lows of life? Wasn't I one of those people driving flash car, wearing nice clothes, but never invited you to my house because you would have really seen the lack in my life? Yes, I was. I was reminded about some of my past again last Sunday when a man called Solomon from Brixton Soup Kitchen came to our carol service to collect food, hampers and money we had donated to his work with the local community. He had been to our church before, talking about the work he did and why he focused on feeding hungry people. Some people are still acting like I had, you know, fake picture, perfect outward lives, but on the down low, can't feed themselves or their families and are too embarrassed to show their need to the wider community. The experience he shared brought things home to me again. And if you hear the cat purring, if you hear any purring, it is the cat. She busts open the living room door and has come in. And now she wants some attention. So, on Thursday this week, I was invited to a Christmas party by a group who've been working with refugee women and families. They had invited me to come along to one of their prior group sessions where I met women from around the world who had found themselves here in the UK for various reasons. One I spoke to had to flee her homeland because she asked questions about the faith being practiced. I mean, she is a believer, but had asked some questions to make sense of her faith. This, however, brought focus that led her to have to flee everything and everyone that she had known or loved. She had to leave them behind for fear of her life. Her story and those of others in that room as they shared their experiences of living without access to public funds, living in hostels without amenities, such as, you know, when I say amenities, I mean they've got bathroom and toilet, but they're not, they don't have kitchen, so they can't cook food that reminds them of their home. They're not able to work. And having their children, if they're school age, they're into our education system. So their kids are seeing what we take for granted, yet they don't have access. So it just made me think again. Alone without Christmas. Just seeking to cope with the new world that they find themselves in. So when they invited me to come to their Christmas party, of course I said yes. And I brought some things that I could share. When I walked into the space, it was filled with people and a lot of children. There was a party happening and it looked like they'd already had a visit from Santa because I saw lots of items that had been wrapped in Christmas paper around. And as the music was playing and the children were rolling around in the space, dancing, playing various musical chair games and so forth, and they were just lost in the excitement of the moment, I realized that some mothers were actually opening the presents. And I was a little bit surprised because I thought that they would wait for the actual day to open these gifts. But what I noticed when they were opening the gifts and taking off the wrapping paper, the actual gift was food items. These were the gifts. I suddenly realized that gifts are not just the underwear, perfumes, toys, or other items we usually try to give. And that some of the basics, such as food, are gifts themselves. You know, that reminds me of the image of, you know, I mean, I'm one of the elders now, but I remember, you know, back in the day when, you know, Christmas, everybody come to the house. Everybody either bring something, the person is contributing, you know, food was what we were sharing. That was Christmas. It was each other. And it wasn't all romanticizing. I think I romanticize it because as a child, I was like, oh, God, man, this again? You know, why are we always going to this person's house and doing this, whatever, whatever? I never realized the tradition. I never realized the love. I never realized the warmth. I never realized that all of those times create the memory that we have. And that it was food that our parents didn't have the luxury of money. Windrush parents who were working all the hours God sent didn't have the money to buy the latest PS, whatever they call them, coming. I had that in my house. I can't even tell you the name. But I know that there's some people who are paying a whole heap of money for games. No, we never had that. All we had was each other and the food that we could eat, which created the memories. And the cousins, but we'll forget that for now. So really and truly, you know, I salute those who feel so impacted that they give their skills, talent, and time making a change, not only for their own lives, but for the lives of others. You know, thank God for their mothers who cook up a storm and invite the world to their house on a Sunday. Used to be the norm. Now everybody want to run out and go eat something, go eat in restaurant. And that's cool. But you know, what happens to the person who is now elderly and their families run into restaurant to eat and don't want to come around their house? Because you don't want to hear their noise. When you hear of so many young people taking the action to end their lives, I feel like I'm overwhelmed. I spend so much time rushing from one thing to another and keeping ourselves busy so we just don't have to think or look any deeper. But when a major holiday season arrives, you can be taken up with the planning, budgeting, making choices you're going to have to live with for the remainder of the year. And you can easily feel smug. Smug shouldn't last for too long, though, but for some of us, smug does last a long time. Even when you're in those, you know, them WhatsApp groups that you've muted the notifications so they can't keep disturbing you, but someone like me too, is posting where people can go and have Christmas dinner for free on the day, so they're not alone. We've been doing this long time, but now with the cost of living so focused in our collective minds and TV and media, we are faced more and more with the knowledge that some people are suffering in silence while others are just invisible. I guess if we were really to rethink this season, it's really about checking in on and sharing with others. I guess it's whatever you can really do. If it's just posting information so others can be signposted to help, then that's all you can do, right? Nothing replaces the loneliness you feel when the doors are closed and you are left watching TV alone, trying to get company via the TV program that you're watching, even if it's only the news. Or thinking, fantasizing that others are having the best time of their lives while you are just feeling what you're feeling. If you only knew, the fantasy can be so strong. Christmas is different for me at the moment because my children are older and can make their own choices. But I recall the times I shared alternate Christmases with their father. He would have them one year while I had them the next. If you ask him, he will say he never agreed to that and his kids should be with him anytime. But as adults in pain, or as a mother in pain, this was the only way to manage the situation I'd found myself in: separation with two kids. How do you give your children what you think they want for Christmas? To be with mum and dad, when in reality, that cannot happen? Will you compromise and split the time? Will you slag off the absent parent? Will you even agree to split the time? Will there be awkwardness if you invite them on the day to actually see their child or children? Or will this be just too good an opportunity to be angry with each other and not think about the kids' needs? There are so many scenarios, man. Over the last few years, the only issue for me was that my ex-partner was out of the country at Christmas time. So my children also were out of the country, and it didn't make sense for them to be abroad just for Christmas Day. So they were gone the whole holiday until New Year, when they had to start back to school. Now, that period also included my birthday, so double loneliness. And I share this only to say that I know what it's like to put on a brave face when inside you're not. I wanted to say you're dying, but the truth is, whilst I might have felt that way, the truth was I was only alone. When people ask me, I was always, "I'm fine." Too blasted English if you ask me. That's the standard answer so many people say, and then they can just move on, because I don't want to stop and really find out, how are you? And you don't really want to tell them how you really feel. So you just say, "I'm fine." But even when my children so far away asked, I'd say I was doing great. I didn't want to spoil their time with their father and the fun I assumed they were having abroad in the sun with people celebrating their own Christmas. What could they do if they knew how I really was feeling? They're too young to do anything about it, so why burden them with anything? So I buried those feelings and got on with things. Although, if truth be told, I had no real desire to eat any Christmas dinner or open my presents because everything seemed dull. Food didn't taste nice without my kids asking me, "How it tastes, Mum?" and if I liked it. Food didn't seem so sweet because I had no one to share it with. The truth is, when I had children around, I either neglected my friends or assumed they were having their own wonderful Christmas with family and friends. So the years I was alone, I didn't want to bother them because I thought it would come across as using them and discarding them when the kids were gone or when the kids were home. So I said nothing. All was great with me. I've learned to be more authentic with myself and others now, though. But that helped then. At some point, you got to get real with yourself. You know, the phone calls to grandparents seem sweeter with the children around. But when they weren't around, it just seemed like a chore. And still, I had to fake I was fine. Why? Because my parents, they live abroad. And, you know, this feeling you don't want them to worry. So when I felt alone, that is what I mean, alone. Dark thoughts do and did come into my head, but the hope of children returning staves off those thoughts, unless you think of all the disasters that can take place to keep them and yours separated, you know. But I found other things to take my mind off things and count down the days when the kids would return. You know, nibbling junk food is just one of them. But what do you do if you don't have children, partner, or family? It might seem like I'm always plugging the Samaritan's hotline. You know, that lifeline where you can talk no matter what time of day, because a conversation can change things. And someone has volunteered their time to help those who need someone on the end of a phone line. So their number in the UK is 116123. I say again, 116123. They have apps and are on Twitter too. So, you know, reach out if you feel led. So as I draw close to the end of this podcast, I've come to realize two things. One, surviving these moments of loneliness has helped in my conversation with my children because I've learned to share some of my feelings of vulnerability that I have felt. I tell them that they too will experience being lonely and some of the feelings that I have felt. I've shared that with them. And I've shared some of the ways that I've tried to tackle it as we talk more openly about stuff. Yes, they're a bit older. So you have to monitor. I had to monitor what I'm saying that's appropriate to their age that wouldn't distress them, so that it would worry. You know, my children are not my therapist. Yeah. I have to manage what I'm saying to them and that it's appropriate. And if they ask a question after I've shared something, then it's my role to explain what I mean to the best of my ability. I have learned to have more compassion for myself, and I guess that has leaked into compassion for others. And I guess that definitely keeps leaking. My mother never told me about loneliness, and how I might feel or how I might tackle it. It just wasn't in her DNA because she was in survival mode. And some of our mothers, some of our parents, they're not going to have conversations with us about stuff like this. Yeah, they're not. They just say things like, you know, something like, too much friend is, well, too much friend is not good. So you're meant to be on your own. But then no one tells you how you're meant to handle loneliness. She, mum, as I say, my mum's been in survival mode. My parenting has been to try and prepare my children for the world they will live in. And loneliness may be something they may have to learn to deal with. So any tips that I can share, I will. And if they can see examples of me trying to cope with my own loneliness and its different stages of, you know, how it transpires, then fine. Because our kids are going to watch us no matter what. No matter what we say, yeah, I'm fine. If they're living in our space and they see us, they're going to see the mask when it slips. So just be truthful, man. I will not always have the answer, and neither will they. But I want them to have hope for their tomorrows. I said two things, right? Well, the second thing I realize is that time is the most expensive gift anyone can give. It's not wrapped in a fancy wrapping paper and doesn't rely on the season. It depends on the heart of the person giving the time. I have given time to my children and parenting and still do, as no matter what age my children are, they will always need my time. Might be less now as they get older, but they still need it. We just negotiate more now as they're approaching their adulthood and we are transitioning into a new phase of parenting. I want to say thank you. Thank you. Yes, you listening to this podcast. Thank you for giving me some of your time. And those who've been listening since I started in whatever year, thank you for the time that you've given to listen. My hope is that the time spent sharing lets you know that we're not alone. That if we need to talk, there is someone willing to listen. That we have to try and be brave to take the steps needed to use our voices to speak our truths, even when we feel so vulnerable. Having faith that our dark thoughts can be aired without thinking others can't cope or that they have to fix it. Airing them, putting them out there helps us get them out of our heads and our hearts. It helps to ease our burden. Sometimes we can see things a little clearer. And when that fog disappears, we can replace it with hope. Everybody and his mother is on social media of one form or another. And I'm not jealous because you got to do you. You understand? But not everything is joy and laughter and jingle and jingle. That's a distraction. And we need distractions. Don't get me wrong. And then people's pain is brought out on the media for our entertainment. For, you know, I remember I used to watch Jerry Springer. Oh my gosh, how could they do that? Oh no, that's ridiculous. Yes, and all that has fed my knowledge, my understanding, wisdom and life experience. But the programs that I watched gave me hope. How many of those programs are out there now about hope? I wonder. Hope means we become braver to face the next moment or days in our lives. With hope comes opportunities and choices of what we want to try. That is new. You know, the things we want to try, that's new for the next day. As I have said on so many occasions, that parenting is a journey. Some days are better than others. And we all mess up. Are we still willing to try again? To say we've messed up and need help, or willing to try something new, like whatever that might be? Are we brave enough to say I need the help? Are we brave enough to just listen or give space to things as they unfold without trying to be too perfect? I'm learning that I can only be authentic as I'm able, especially to myself. And that is a journey in itself. I cannot heal the loss of my friend is feeling right now because of his recent loss. He has to work through it. But if all I can give is my time when he needs space to just talk, then that's all I can do. I cannot heal the hurt of my friend who lost her mother, or my friend who lost her beloved son, nor my cousins, where we have lost those in our family who have shared their light and wisdoms with us as we mourn our losses. Some days, moments are better and others are poorer moments, believe me. If I can say hello to a person or smile at them, then that's all I can do. If you need to take my arm to steady yourself, or as you cross the road, you need my arm, then that's all I can do. If I have to slow down in my car or even halt while you take ages to cross the road, even though the crossing was only meters away, but you chose to cross in the middle of the road, then that's all I can do. If you've got your headphones on and you're walking across the road, you're not looking left nor right, and may have to slow down. Yes, of course. I'm going to be like, you're idiot. But that's all I can do. If you knock on my door and I'm able to help after I've checked that it's not a scam, then that's all I can do. If dropping a food item in the mega store's collection for the homeless basket is all that I can do, then that's all I can do. If buying an extra gift for someone's child is all I can do, then that's all I can do at that time. If praying for you because I don't have the answers to the crisis that you're either facing or you're in is all that I can do, then that's all I can do. We are each other's keepers, whether you believe it or not. And how we treat each other has impact. Not all impact you can see, but impact nonetheless. So if anything I have said has triggered you, please contact somebody and talk. And if you have no one, then you know I'm going to tell you, call the Samaritans on 116-123. So I say all these words and share these experiences to say we are not alone. So let's find our tribe this holiday. Let's reach out, give and receive where we can as we seek to have hope for our tomorrow. Have a blessed holiday season. Until the next podcast, I am out. I'm not even telling you no for share, like, and subscribe. Everybody says them things there. And yes, it would be nice, but you know what would be even better? Have a blessed Christmas, you hear me? And be with the ones you love.